You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Surrogacy is an assisted reproductive technology technique in which one woman, called the surrogate or the carrier, carries a child for another woman, usually because she can't conceive or carry a pregnancy to term. Now, in most cases, the surrogate is a gestational carrier, which means the carrier is implanted with a fertilized embryo. Her eggs are not used for the pregnancy. And here in Idaho, we have a thriving surrogacy population with numerous surrogacy agencies, gestational carriers, and even a unique family program at St. Luke's Health System, which helps people navigate what can be a pretty complicated process. Joining me today to talk more about surrogacy, why it's gaining in popularity, as well as how all of the pieces of this puzzle fit together, are Melissa Ward. She is the manager of the Unique Family Program. Nicole Williamson, president of A Host of Possibilities, a surrogacy agency. Alicia Beverly, a two-time gestational carrier. And Christy LaCrosse is joining us by telephone today to talk about how and why she and her husband chose a gestational carrier to bring their last child into the world. I want to welcome all of you to the program.
Thank you.
That was a long introduction, but there is a lot to talk about. Melissa, I'd like to start with you. Why is Idaho such a hot spot for surrogacy?
Actually, that question would probably go to Nicole.
Okay, so Nicole, you answer that question for me because you run a surrogacy agency, but it's not just gained in popularity nationwide, but in particular, Idaho.
Yeah, so Idaho has a large number of gestational carriers. We have a very healthy lifestyle. I think a lot of intending parents, they love Boise. They come here and they visit, and a lot of them want to move here. They just think it's great. So I think just having the healthy lifestyle and the different type of living here, and we have a lot of women who either stay-at-home moms, you know, work at the hospital, who want to be carriers. And so it's just kind of spreading.
And have you seen those numbers increase over the years?
Yeah. So it just continues to increase. You know, with the infertility rates, you know, obviously increasing, there's always a need for gestational carriers. And we have found that our numbers continue to increase every year as far as intending parents and carriers.
And Melissa, talk about the Unique Family Program and why this was started.
Absolutely. In about 2013, 2014, we actually noticed an increase of 165% in our adoption surrogacy population. And we
165%? I had to interrupt you there. That is a huge increase.
Absolutely. And we did not understand what a surrogacy complex situation looked like, and we needed to be able to have some knowledge and some understanding in order to take care of them at the bedside, to know who was the parent and who was the carrier. Our language needed to be changed to not refer to the carrier as the mom. And so we were able to meet with people like Nicole and our community, all the other agencies and attorneys and gestational carriers as well. And really, from a community standpoint, all of us collaborating together, we're able to come up with, great, these are their complex needs, and this is how you call them. And then we were able to build a program that allows us to not only care for surrogacies, but anybody who has a non-traditional type of family unit, to be able to offer neutral, compassionate care with staff that are educated and can understand those complexities.
And you bring up an interesting point about the legality of it. Can you talk about how that plays into it? Because we say intending parent.
Yes.
So when intending parents go through this process in Idaho, because I think every state is potentially different, talk about the laws in Idaho and how that works. I mean, do you have to adopt your own biological baby?
So,
and Nicole, I'll look at you for that.
So Idaho, we don't actually have a law in place. We just kind of have, it's like kind of guidelines. Supreme Court.
Yeah, it's a statute.
Statute. Okay.
And so, as long as you are biologically related to the child, your name goes on the birth certificate at time, you know, after the surrogate delivers. She'll sign her rights away, and then the parent's name go on. If you're not biologically related, in the case of, you know, a mother, if she uses an egg donor, then she goes back and does a step-parent adoption.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
And I want to bring Christy into the conversation because, Christy, you were able to carry three of your children, but because of medical complications, your age, numerous miscarriages, you were basically told you cannot carry another child, but yet your family wasn't complete. You go down the path of finding a gestational carrier, and you don't live in Idaho. You live in a different state. And one of the things that when you and I were talking beforehand was the legal aspect that you went through, because you and your husband actually talked to me about how you went to court before Mamie was ever born.
Right. So we started our process in Illinois, and we ended up having a carrier from Ohio. And we were able, because we used an egg donor, so it was biologically my husband's, not biologically mine. We were able to go to court prior to birth. I think we were like maybe 35 weeks along, I mean, pretty late in the pregnancy. And you basically go before the court and say, you know, we have a carrier. She sort of relinquishes her rights in a way. I mean, she has a whole paperwork legal process she has to go to, and then the judge approves it prior. So the carrier's name is never on the birth certificate. Both my husband's name and my name were on the birth certificate from the get-go. You know, there's some families that choose to do it afterwards. We chose to do it before. Just make it all a little bit easier.
And it was important to you that you and your husband's name were the only one on the birth certificate, correct?
You know, it really was. I didn't think it was going to matter when we started this process. But then it got down to it, and there was this little tinge of, you know, that's my baby. That's our child. And not to take away from, you know, the part that our carrier did, but she would also say, you know, that's not her child. She was on the same page as we were that she didn't want to be on it, you know, ever. I'm glad that we had that.
And one thing that Melissa talked about was the verbiage and how we talk about this within the hospital setting. Because you had said in your situation, the nurses would come in and they would ask your gestational carrier and saying, what does mom want? And
They asked about, like, well, are you going to breastfeed? And the carrier was like, you know, you need to ask the mom. And she was very good about that, much better than the nurses even, you know. And it reminded me of a case, Gemma, when, you know, they first were, you know, they make you roll the baby along. You can't carry the baby down the hall in the little bassinet thing, and how it had the carrier's last name. So even though it was our baby, we had gone through all this paperwork, you know, we don't have anything for the baby book that has our last name. You know, it doesn't say Mamie LaCrosse. And so I was thinking of all those little things that probably seem trivial, but yet when you're in this really exciting period of time in your life, you know, you get this tinge of, oh.
Yeah. And Melissa, is that part of the reason why, with Christy's experience,
yes,
that it's so important that you have, they, as Christy said, she was like, at the time, it didn't seem like a big deal, but they've nothing with her name.
Yes. Well, Christy, you know, I hear you, and I sympathize, and I am so proud that we've been able to partner with our community to be able to, we recognize in the state of Idaho, we don't have that pre-birth order, as Christy was referring to. In the state of Idaho, the legal mother originally, as she gives birth until she goes to court. So during that hospitalization for those couple of days and up until that point, she is the legal mother. However, we recognize that she knows she's not the mom, and we recognize that there's a mom and a dad or two dads, whatever that would be. And it's really important to acknowledge them. And so I'm really proud that we have been able to work, and we have things in place that we proactively, during the pregnancy, have a process that allows us to have the legalities of, here's a paperwork that says intended parents are going to make all decisions for the baby. And then we have developed processes that says at delivery, we actually are going to band the baby to mom and dad with their last name. And the carrier actually has a carrier band with her name. Mm. And they make all decisions on the baby. We get to have them partner together, however that would look. And they each get their own patient rooms, just like any other buddy, right? Someone comes in, they deliver, they get a room. Nursery comes in, helps them care for their baby. In the case of a surrogacy, the gestational carrier is still getting her room, still getting all of the care that she needs, both physically and emotionally. Mm-hmm. But we also offer a room to the intended parents. So the baby stays with them and they get that experience. They get to order food. They get the nurses coming in. The doctors refer to them for, you know, hey, what do you want?
For care about the baby, things like that.
Yes. And then that really can look differently. You know, you might have gestational carriers and intended parents that want rooms right next door to each other, and you see that baby going back and forth. Or they might say, you know, I want it a little bit more separated. And it really just is a collaboration on all of us and us as the health system to take what do you want to do, which is why we have these care plans that, for example, Nicole and her team take care of, that ahead of time we say, who's going to cut the cord? What does that look like? You know, do you want these things? But we have a gestational care plan that talks about her pregnancy.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And then we have an intended care plan that talks about what do you want for baby?
When we come back, because we have to take a quick break, I want to bring Alisa into the conversation because you are a two-time gestational carrier. And we've brought up a lot of things, but haven't gotten your perspective on it yet. So when we come back, I'd like to talk with you, but also continuing this conversation as well. We are talking about surrogacy and how it's rising in popularity, but also why people are choosing Idaho. You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We are talking this half hour about surrogacy, what it is, why more people are turning to it to expand their family, and why Idaho is such a popular place for surrogacy to happen. My panel today includes Melissa Ward. She is manager of St. Luke's Unique Family Program. Nicole Williamson, president of A Host of Possibilities, a Treasure Valley surrogacy agency. Alicia Beverly, a two-time gestational carrier. And Christy LaCrosse, a parent who used a gestational carrier to carry her last child. Welcome again to the show.
Thank you.
And Alicia, we haven't brought you into the conversation yet, and I'd like to get your perspective as a gestational carrier. And when we were talking with Christy before the break, she talked about like the legality of it, wanting, you know, her and her husband's name on the baby's birth certificate, but then not having those moments in the hospital of having their baby's last name. And to be clear, Christy is in a different state than Idaho, so legally things are a bit different. But Alicia, talk to me about that whole aspect of it for you.
So St. Luke's is really great as far as because they have the bands. So the nurses constantly come directly to the intended parents, not me. I don't legally make any decisions in the hospital. I sign a paper that says this is what's going to be on the birth certificate. The intended parents' name are going to be on the birth certificate. In Idaho, you go before a judge and you basically – it's called terminate your rights, but I don't really like that language because the rights were never mine to begin with. It's giving back the rights. So it's just basically saying I was never the mother. I was just the carrier. Here in Idaho, a lot of times you can actually Skype with the judge if you're still in the hospital room.
So it can happen quickly then.
Yes. Yes. And so you can actually over Skype, you can see the judge, you're sitting in your hospital bed, and you can terminate your rights that way. So it's quick and easy, not a big deal.
And why did you go down the path of being a gestational carrier?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
It is. But and give me a short answer. But because I think a lot of people assume, well, you're getting paid, you're doing this, or I am. If you've been pregnant, that cannot be a reason.
No. I guess for me, like, since I was little, I was always wanted to be a mother. That was, like, you know, my number one passion and desire. When I, me and my husband were married, that was my number one passion. And I was always had that fear in the back of my mind, what if I can't get pregnant? What if I can't get pregnant? For my husband and I, we were blessed and we didn't ever have to deal with infertility issues and we got pregnant right away. For me, I just always in my heart had a place for women or same-sex couples who could not, for some reason or another, could not carry for themselves. For me, it was just a no-brainer. Even explain it to my children, people will ask, oh, how did your kids take this? It's very black and white for kids. There's no gray area. Well, yeah, I mean, they can't carry a baby. Their tummy doesn't work. Why wouldn't you, Mom? You know? So for me, it was the same way. It was very black and white. Like, I would want someone else to do it for me. And I'm blessed to be able to carry a healthy pregnancy. I had great pregnancies. So I would love to do it for someone else.
And Nicole, go ahead.
And I was just going to add, you know, believe it or not, we love being pregnant. Mm-hmm. I love being pregnant.
I am. I'm like, believe it or not.
Yeah. You're not going to be a surrogate. I've had two babies of my own, and I've been a surrogate four times. I've been pregnant six times, and I loved every single one of them. And don't get me wrong, there's, you know, the morning sickness and things like that. But the experience is amazing, and we always tell everybody, seeing the intending parents hold their baby for the first time, you can't describe that moment. Like, you can't describe it. It's even more amazing than when we have our own mm-hmm. kids. It's just their eyes and just...
It's like an out-of-body experience because you go through it being a parent yourself and you're in the emotions, you're in the moment. But when you're a surrogate, it's like you're looking at someone up above for this first moment, this amazing, special, joyful moment that you got to be a part of. And I tell all the girls that I talk to who want to become a surrogate, I said, if you're a surrogate once, you're going to do it again because it's an addicting process. By far, just one of the most amazing things that I've ever done in my life.
And Christy, for you, having given birth to your first three children, what was mm-hmm. it? What was it like in that moment when Mamie was born? And it was a different experience for you. And I don't mean, I'm not saying this to take away from anything, but I mean, your birth pictures have to be amazing because you haven't just had a baby. I mean,
yeah, it was still the middle of the night. No, it was. And she ended up being born in a tub in the hospital. And so it was this amazing water birth and her coming up out of the water and me getting to grab her and, you know, lift her up. And it was amazing. My husband said that he goes, you look like a kid at Christmas, just, you know, waiting so anxiously. And it was just, it's a really, really beautiful thing. And I have this picture of me holding Mamie standing by the bed with our carrier. And it's, you can only see my face, but I'm looking at her and we couldn't talk. I was just looking her in the eyes and it was like, you know, we did this because from our very first phone call, we knew that we had the same end goal. You know, we were in this together. There were days that I felt like I was in it more with her than even my husband because it was just like we both wanted this experience so much. And it's funny that you say it's an addictive process because our carrier is currently 29 weeks pregnant with twins yes. for another family. So she's back at it and, you know, it's just a special thing. It really is. It was definitely different than the children that I carried, but yet there's still that same magic. And, mm-hmm. you know, she was my daughter from that very first moment. And yeah.
And the relationships that you make. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've carried for four different yeah. families and I have these amazing relationships and I get to see these kids grow up. You know, we were done with our family. Mm-hmm. We had our kids. But now I get to be like an aunt and I get to go visit them every year and go see them and get updates. And
there isn't that feeling of, oh, when you see them, like that's my child. I mean,
no, not at all. Because the end goal is to make someone a parent. And I always tell people, it's like if you're babysitting someone, you don't want to keep that baby at the end of the night. You want to give the baby back to its parents, right? Mm-hmm. That's exactly how surrogacy is. The end goal is for someone to love that child. You know, for me, my sorrow babies are, I, their nieces, nephews to me. I just love them like that. And people always ask me, well, how is it giving up the baby? Well, I was never giving up the baby. I was giving the baby back. That's how I saw it.
And Melissa, when you have this community partnership, I find that fascinating that, in a way, as a health system, you had to go and talk to the surrogacy agencies and to the carriers and to make a collaborative effort. Has it made a difference in the experience for people?
Absolutely. And we weren't necessarily at the very beginning, to tell you the truth, having to go out to these agencies as much as they were actually showing up with their surrogates and they were like, you need to do something. You need to help us. And so we started this relationship even before we were able to go out in the community and begin our task force that we had began. And it has made a very big difference because we are able proactively to learn, what the needs are for somebody like Alicia or Nicole, and learn the needs of the intended parents. Maybe they have something special going on, or it's two dads, or, they're only going to be here for 2 weeks afterwards and they need some different care rather than maybe someone that's going to be here for 6 months. And then being able to, at the bedside, have our nurses just have a great job.
Well, I want to thank all of you for joining in this conversation today. I think it is fascinating and really giving some clarity on what this whole process is like. So thank you to my guests today, Melissa Ward, Nicole Williamson, Alicia Beverly, and Christy LaCrosse. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And I want to thank all of you for joining us today. My producers are Samantha Wright and Richard Copeland. I'm Gemma Gaudette. And as always, you can hear this rebroadcast through our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. And we will, of course, see you back here tomorrow.